to God that he's blessed us to see another day. And if we'd say it like Granny used to say it, we'd say it's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. And so we are so thankful. We're thankful that you have decided to worship with us today. We pray that you're blessed by our worship, that you're blessed by the word of God that will go forth on today. We just came to express our love for our Lord. We come to celebrate our Christ, celebrate the God who loved us so much that he decided to send his son that we might have life. So again, we say welcome to the Nazarene Baptist Church.
Amen. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So it's a privilege to be able to lift his name up again. You all can join me.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's stay right there in that same spirit. The same spirit that raised him from the grave is now living in us. And all I can say is hallelujah.
For your life.
said, You are
the river.
Wherever you are, let's lift it up all over the place.
Death could not hold you down.
For you.
Chapter 14, verses 24 through 30.
Are you on?
Yes, I'm on, right? Nope. Oh, shoot. You got me? Okay, here we go. Oh, Lord have mercy. Numbers chapter 14, verses 24 through 30. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow. Set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fail. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's once born again that we call upon our most precious and holy name. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the songs of Zion that has stirred up your spirit, made us remember what you've already done. Now, Heavenly Father, even though there's a lot of uncertainty, we raise our hands to thee. We may be in the four corners of our home, may have a bowl of Cheerios and a piece of toast, but you are there with us. So, Heavenly Father, we're going to lean and depend on you. No matter what goes on outside our four walls, we're going to lean and depend on you. Now, Heavenly Father, those who are out there driving the bus, working in the hospitals, caring for a loved one, we ask that you step in. Let your spirit rule, lead, and guide. Now, Heavenly Father, after you stir up your spirit from this worship service today to give us a little pep in our step, we ask you to anoint the word that the pastor is going to give us today, so when we walk outside the four walls, we tell everyone, we're standing on the promises of God. He's brought me this far. He's never going to leave me, and I'm going to show you what he's going to do. Now, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
said there is no way.
There is no way.
Way. I can go on.
I can go on.
Oh, burden,
burden,
are too much for me to bear. I have tried to make it on my own. Anybody here ever tried to make it on your own? Oh yeah. But these heavy burdens, yeah, these heavy burdens, they got a little too strong. Oh, 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 but right now, I can say without Christ in my life, there is no other way. Help me say,
there is no way.
I can live
without you.
Clap your hands like this, step it back. I have tried, yeah. Come on, let's take it up.
Yeah.
Jesus. Can you all help me receive our pastor, Pastor Larry Rasko, as he comes to share the word of God with us today. Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Again, we bless the Lord for our psalmist and the entire team who's working together to bless us and to allow us this precious privilege to come together in worship. I do want to take a moment and give a big shout out to all of our graduates. We thank God for each and every one of you. When we get back, we're going to celebrate you, and we've got, of course, some special things in store and in plans for you. And so we thank God for each and every one of you. The Lord is good all the time, and we are grateful for his mercy and grace. I want to invite you to share with me today. I'm going to share two scriptures. One is in the book of Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, and here's what it says. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And then in the book of Joshua, chapter 14 as well, verse 12, Caleb gets the mic, and Caleb says, now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. Amen. I want to talk about how to claim your mountain. How to claim your mountain. Being quarantined and can't shut up and in the house has given a whole lot of us some time to catch up on some of our movies. One of the boss ladies of the Rasko family in Indianapolis, she thinks she's always up on the movies, and Jackie, every now and then, she sends me something she thinks I haven't seen. One of them was, it's a good movie, Larry, you need to see The Angel Has Fallen. The Angel Has Fallen, that Jared Butler and Morgan Freeman is the president. But the truth is, somebody who just about stole the show is Nick Nolte, because he is 79 years old. He looks like he's got 1 foot in the grave, but he comes back in a mighty way. Another one I ran across was The Foreigner. The Foreigner, and Pierce Brosnan is in that, but the one who stole the show is Jackie Chan. He ain't running around with Chris no more. He ain't rushing nowhere. But in this movie, he's almost retired, and he comes out of retirement to bring some justice in some needed places. And Jackie Chan, he is 66 years old. And then, of course, seems like he just ain't gonna die, Sylvester Stallone. He came out with another movie for him, and they finally called it Last Blood. It's the last blood. He'd done all the Rockies he can do, and he'd done Creed, took it 2 times, and now Last Blood. Sylvester Stallone is 74 years old, but he's still a bad boy. The question is, I know you're wondering, what does Sylvester Stallone, Jackie Chan, and Nick Nolte have in common? There's a term, I'm only gonna say it one time, and I'll abbreviate it the rest of the sermon, because I'm only allowed a limited number of times to use these words before Trudy gives me the look. Caleb, Jackie Chan, Sylvester Stallone, and Nick Nolte have this one thing in common. They're all badasses. They some bad boys. They are some bad boys. They will kick butt anytime, anywhere. And Caleb, when we get to Joshua, he's 85 years old, Tracy. He's 85. And Caleb said, I'm just as strong. I'm just as strong as I was in my 20s. And Caleb, make no mistake about it. In essence, he's really saying, and I ain't afraid of anybody, anywhere, at any time. Now, give me my mountain, because God promised me something, and I want it, and I want it, I want it now. And I'm not afraid of dealing with anybody that I got to deal with in order to get what God told me I could have. He's a bad boy. He's not being arrogant. When you get to Joshua chapter 14, he is not being arrogant. He's not being beside himself. He is at a point, and when you read Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14, they go together because within that, it shows that what God has and is doing in the life and history of Israel. He's in chapter 14, he has now experienced the blessings of God. In Joshua chapter 14, God has kept him. Numbers chapter 14, it begins with weeping because the children of Israel are sorrowful and they're turning on Moses and God because they're scared of what God's getting ready to do and what God is on the verge of taking them through. And God gets upset and he says, in essence, what else I got to do to prove to y'all that I'm able to keep you? Even Moses, and God said, I'm about ready to strike y'all down right here. And Moses says, God, you don't want to do that. Please don't do that. Moses intercedes on behalf of the people, and he begs and pleads with God. He begs and pleads with God to forgive them. And God said, I'm going to forgive them, but I ain't going to forget what they said. And so since they want to go back to Egypt, since they don't want to go forward, I'm going to make them do some left-hand turns. And anybody over the age of 20, nobody over the age of 20 is going into the promised land, but I'm going to bless some folk to come out of this mess. But only individuals are going to be Joshua and Caleb. And for now, when you get to Joshua chapter 14, it's been 40 years. Blessings are now being passed out. The land is being distributed. And while everybody else is getting what God has promised them, now Caleb waits in line. He waits his turn. And now that everybody has received their blessing, Caleb stands and says to Joshua, now give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. We see oftentimes where people are, but we don't always see how they got to where they are. You look at Brother Dwight and you see where he is and you say, wow, what a life, what an awesome, but you don't always know what he went through, what God took him through to get him to his mountain. Matter of fact, when you go to his house, it sits on a hill. God has been good to him, but you don't know how he got up there. And so I thought one of the things I want to do is help you to understand how you can get your mountain. We see it in the life of Caleb, how Caleb was able to claim his mountain. But here's what you got to know. It don't start at the mountain. You don't get the mountain by just going to the mountain, by just being at the mountain. And so I want to walk you through this real quick, and then we'll get on out of here. You'll discover that Caleb, the reason why he was able to claim his mountain in chapter 14 of Joshua is because he spent a season walking, following the man of God quietly. Hear me well. I want to share, if you want to get a mountain, you find somebody that's connected to God. Find somebody who's following God and follow them, and it'll help you get your mountain. Get your mountain. It'll help you. It'll help you get your mountain. And watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. He was following, watch this, Junior. He was following the man of God quietly. Let me say it again. He was following the man of God quietly. Matter of fact, nobody else really knew that he was following the man of God. But he was 40 years old. Catch this. He's 40 years old, but he was following the man of God before he was 40. He was 40 when he got the assignment, but before then, he was following the man of God. Let me explain it. He was in Egypt, and God called Moses, sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Water turned into blood. If we were in school, Caleb would say, present. Darkness, Caleb would say, present. Lice and flies, Caleb would say, present. Frogs all over the place, Caleb would say, present. Passover, have I got a witness? Present. Walking out of Egypt with all the spoils, Caleb would say, present. Walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, Caleb would say, present. He's with God. He's following the man of God, not just through the sea, but now they're in the wilderness. And he still says, present. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. In all of that time, you never hear nothing about Caleb. Caleb's name is not mentioned until Numbers chapter 13, verse 6. But he's there all the time. Good God Almighty. He's there all the time. He's watching. Have I got a witness? He's listening. Have I got a witness? He's following. Have I got a witness? And nobody ever called his name. Don't nobody know who he is, but he's following the man of God as the man of God follows the words from God. How do you get your mountain? Follow the man of God who's following the words from God, and you might get yourself a mountain. He's walking, following the man of God quietly. But then there's something else that happens. In chapter 13, verse 6, you see him working with and for the man of God. Chapter 13, Numbers 13, verse 6. He's now working with and for the man of God. Stan, in chapter 13 of Numbers, God makes a shift. And God tells Moses, I want to show y'all what I'm going to give you. That's what he says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to show you what I'm going to give y'all. But since y'all don't have Google Earth,
And since y'all don't have drones, since satellites haven't been invented yet, I'm gonna let you see it for yourself. Here's what I need you to do, Moses. Pick some folk from each tribe. Pick a leader from each tribe and send them over there and let them see for themselves. Watch this now. God tells Moses to pick some folk who to represent each tribe, each family, and Caleb's name comes up because he is a spiritual leader in the family. He's already accepted responsibility in the family. He's embracing responsibility at home before he gets called to another level. Don't miss it. Maybe the reason why God is trying to get us to spend more time at home is so that we'll embrace and remember the responsibility of what starts at home before you take responsibility everywhere else. I think it's quite funny when you see folk that want to be big baller shot callers at church, but ain't a big baller spiritually shot caller at home. He's a leader. He has responsibility at home. And he gets called to represent. And they send him on a special assignment. Y'all just go over there, spend about a month, and then come back and tell us what you saw. He goes on surveillance, two-man teams, and he is with Joshua. Joshua and Caleb, they rode dogs. They go over there, they see the land, and they come back, and all the people line up and start giving their reports. And you know that this is a famous story because 10 of them said, "God, Moses, you're right. It's a beautiful place. The vegetation is awesome. It's a wonderful place, but there are some giants over there, and we aren't nothing but grasshoppers. Matter of fact, we're grasshoppers in their sight." And that was their report. "It's a great place, but we're too small." And here's the problem. When you see yourself as a grasshopper, it ain't hard for other folk to see you as a grasshopper. Because they're flunking the class, the history class. All 10 of them flunked history. I'll get to that in a minute. But then Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "Yeah, it's matter of fact, we brought back some grapes, and the cluster was so big we had to put it on a stick and carry it. But we well able. Don't get me wrong, there are some big folk over there. But we're well able to have that land." And here's what I love about it. Caleb understood that we can have it not because of who we are, but we can have it because of what God says. I'm gonna give y'all a chance to shout right there. We can have it. Hey, Teray, you can have it not because of what you said, but you can have it because of what God said. Riri, I'm trying to help you up in here. You can have it not because of what you said, but you can have it because of what God said. He didn't say y'all gonna have to fight for it. He didn't say y'all are gonna have to run folk out. He said, "No, this is the land that I'm going to give to you. Go see it. I want you to see what I'm going to give to you." The special assignment led to experiences. And the experiences led to conviction. Listen to me, Ressie. God will give you a special assignment. That assignment, when you're done, you're going to look back and think about the experience. And then the experience is going to create some conviction in your heart about what you learned about God through the experience. You couldn't ever get the conviction if you didn't have the experience. Come here, y'all. God is giving us, God is giving us an experience. Because when we get through this experience, we're going to have a conviction about who God is and what God can do. Have I got a witness? I'm making myself happy up in here. God's got to give you an experience. And the experience gives you a conviction. There's a thing in that called a conditional statement. Moni, I had to check with her this morning. Moni said a conditional statement goes something like this. If P is this, if P, then Q. If P, then Q. If 2 and 3 is 5, then 3 and 2 is 5. It's if, then. But then there's a converse part to it. If 2 and 3 ain't 5, then 3 and 2 ain't 5. And you got to remember, in your experience, God is creating history and writing an autobiography. All at the same time. And every now and then, folk take classes as if it's just for that semester. But God is too much God, and God is too good to not let us go through some stuff and then go to the bathroom and flush it out of our mind as if we don't need it again. Here's what Caleb understood. If God can take one old man and put him in front of Pharaoh and say to him, God told me to tell you, let my people go. And then a few months later, we walk out. If God can do that, then God can do this. Have I got a witness here? He didn't forget his history. If God can turn water to blood, then God can give us the land. If God can make a highway through a Red Sea, then God is able to give us the land. If then, and how many experiences does God have to give you until you reach a point of having some conviction about what you know about God? Hey, Mike, you remember God kept you at Alcoa, but then some stuff happened and your life shifted. But then God, the same God who kept you in Evansville, he kept you in Milwaukee. Because if God can keep you in Egypt, he can keep you in the wilderness. You've got to remember your history. Don't flunk your history. He got his mountain because he followed, he was walking, following the man of God who was following the words of God. He got his mountain because he took some time and worked for God, worked for the man of God, gained even more experiences, and he had a personal conviction. And then, after all of that, Caleb gets wages in the form of a promise from God. He gets paid. I know he's paid in the present because God still put clothes on his back, food on the table, protection in the wilderness. But God has some, There's some compensation that God delays. God got sense enough to not give some of us everything up front. Have I got a witness here? There's some stuff he delays. And you've got this servant, he's holding on to the promise of God. Watch this. In Numbers chapter 14, the people are rebelling. The people want to go back. The people are telling, in essence, God, you don't know what you're doing. Shall I tell you? They're telling God, you done got us out here to get us killed. Our wives are going to get taken. Our children are going to be destroyed. We need another leader to take us back. And I've told you all the time, you don't ever need a leader to take you backwards. If you want to go backwards, all you got to do is just let go. You'll automatically go backwards. But you do need leadership to go forward. And when God said, I've had enough of y'all, none of y'all over the age of 20 is going in to the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Here's what I want to tell you. Sometimes being a minority ain't a bad thing. Because when you a minority, but you're standing in the will of God, Carla, you can bet that when you stand for God, God's going to stand for you. Matter of fact, Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and they quieted the crowd because it was almost a riot. He said, y'all stop this. Y'all don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. Whatever you do, don't turn against God. They tore their clothes and tried to get the people to understand the foolishness of what they were doing because they could not see the message that God was trying to show them. Every now and then, God will do some interesting things to make some stuff clear in your life. Have I got a witness here? Hey, God did it with me. A couple weeks ago, I wanted to get some new glasses. Hadn't had any new glasses in about 4 years. And I told them I wanted some new glasses. And at first, I really wanted something to be flashy like my boo. But after I had the examination, it just kind of changed my mind. They said, well, we can't give you glasses because you haven't had your eyes checked in 4 years. So I set the appointment. I went and got my eyes checked. They checked my eyes. And while they were checking my eyes, they put this little baby cuff to do my blood pressure. And when they did my blood pressure, a little cuff on my wrist, and the lady looked at me and she said, sir, your blood pressure is extremely high. It's dangerously high. She said, relax a minute and let's do it again. And I'm thinking to myself, that number that you just said, that's a number that, you know, people end up in ICU and they, you know, they go upstairs with a number like that. But I know that number can't be right because I don't feel the throbbing in my head and I don't feel it. I bent over and tied my shoes. I didn't pass out today. And I mean, I know that number's not right. I'm feeling pretty good. But then I heard the words of my wife nurse who used to says all the time, you know, that stroke is a silent killer. And I'm thinking and I'm looking at her and the room was dark and I didn't worry about it. I said, nah, well, she told the doctor. The doctor came in and she said, sir, your blood pressure is kind of high. As soon as we're done with this, I think you ought to go to emergency and have it checked because it's extremely high. And so when I left, I was kind of concerned, but I felt good. I felt good. And when I looked at my phone, my doctor had called me. They went out there and called my doctor. And my doctor, who omitted, he had to cancel my last appointment. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And he called me. He said, we want to see you right away. He was just right across the street. But I called him, and I said, well, I can't come. I can't come right now. It's 10:15. I can't come right now because I've got a service to do at Oak Hill. I've got a graveside service to do at Oak Hill. It's somebody I love and the family I love. And they said, well, come. When can you come? I said, I can come in an hour, 11:30. Here it is. When I hung up, and I'm driving down Lloyd Expressway. It's 10:30. I don't have to be at the service till 11, so I'm going to be there early. And then I rehearsed my experience. My experience was somebody took my blood pressure with a little small cap, a little cuff. It was extremely high. And my doctor said, I want to see you as soon as possible. And I said to myself, wait a minute. I am on my way to Oak Hill Cemetery. You'll catch this in a second. I'm on my way to Oak Hill Cemetery to celebrate the homegoing of somebody who passed from complications of a stroke. I slowed down. I got there, and just as soon, matter of fact, before the service was over, I snuck out the side because sometimes God is trying to tell you something, and he'll give you an experience. Your blood pressure's a little high, and you're on your way to Oak Hill to stand before somebody else who passed away from complications of high blood pressure. I rushed to the doctor, and as you can see, I'm still here. Good news is it wasn't nearly as high as they thought it was. But every now and then, the good God we serve, I'm going to tell you the truth. He'll give you a scurry. He'll give you a scurry experience to help you see something that you need to see. But here's what we've got here. What we have is the promises of God. The promises of God are the wages is tied up in a promise. And here's what you've got. Everybody else is getting their blessing. And now Caleb is saying, I'm only saying what God says. Because in Numbers chapter 14, in the conversation, God said, Caleb has a different spirit. God said it. What does the different spirit look like? JT, let me tell you what a different spirit looks like. Everybody else might be going right, but God is telling you to go left. That's a different spirit. God said he has a different spirit and he follows me. That's another one. A different spirit follows the Most High God even when it's not easy, even when it's a struggle, even when you have to walk alone. He said what God said. God said I could have this mountain because I had a different spirit and I followed him wholeheartedly. What does wholeheartedly look like? I think it looks something like this. Wholeheartedly, you know you're following God wholeheartedly when you're not saying, well, I got to go to church. I got to. No. What you'll discover is there was a time you did it because you thought it was out of obligation, but it's not because you got to. The good thing is we get to. Some people feel they got to, but the good news is for the child of God who understand I could have been dead and gone, but God let me live on. I get to go to the house of God. Some people go because of guilt. You go because of guilt. Well, if I don't show up, people gonna talk about me, and I done spent all these years getting this title, and now if I don't show up, somebody's gonna talk about me. So you go. Some people go because they got to. Some go out of guilt. Some go for their own glory. But here's what I love about Caleb. He didn't follow with a got-to spirit. He didn't follow out of guilt. He didn't follow out of his own glory. Matter of fact, every time he speaks, he's trying to help somebody else see how good God is. Every time he speaks, he's talking not just about himself. Matter of fact, I'll do it like this. And even when he's asking for the mountain at 85, he ain't asking for the mountain for himself. He's asking for the mountain because God said he would give it to him. God said he would bring him into that place, and then God said it would be an inheritance for his children. Yeah, he was doing it for the grandbabies. He was doing it for the next generation. Y'all, there comes a point where you're going to learn that some stuff you need to do, not for yourself, but you got to do it for Caden. You got to do it for the grandbabies. You do it for the next generation to come along, because you want to make sure they understand their history. You want to make sure that they understand how they got to where they are, that it wasn't nothing but the goodness of God. And the truth is, y'all, everybody got a mountain. And when God gives you a mountain, there's a lesson tied to mountain experiences in the Bible. Jerry, let me show you what I'm talking about. Jerry, when God gave Abraham a mountain, his mountain was Mount Moriah. And the lesson was that if you'll put me first, you can trust me to provide. Jacob had a mountain in Genesis 31. Jacob's mountain was Mount Gilead. And in Mount Gilead, Jacob was on that mountain because he was about to come face to face with his brother. And he had dogged his brother out, and he was concerned that his brother was going to kill him. But on that mountain, he learned from those experiences that you can trust God to be with you in reconciliation. Yes. Moses had a mountain, Mount Sinai. And that mountain was teaching a lesson that we serve a holy God. And he told the people, don't even come close to it because he is a holy God. And he stood there at the base of that mountain and extended God's word and law. Elijah had a mountain in Kings. Mount Carmel was his mountain. And on that mountain, it was an issue of choices. Choose you this day who you will serve. If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, go on and serve him. But you got to choose who you. It's a mountain of choices. And on that mountain, the fire fell. And now we have Caleb. He's got his mountain. Give me my mountain. Because God said he was going to give it to me. Give me this mountain. Because God said he would bring it in. Give me this mountain. Because God said it would be an inheritance for my children. I want my mountain. God has done some stuff for us, but now I want to tell you, he promised to do something for me. I'll rewind. Don't miss your history. God has done some stuff for us, but now the good news is he'll also do something for you. He does something for us collectively, but then he'll do something for you individually. And we got to learn how to give him praise and glory for every mountain. Can't close without telling you, Jesus had a couple of mountains. One mountain he went on, and they called it the Mountain of Transfiguration. On that mountain, the voice of God said, I'm pleased with you. On that mountain, the voice told the others, listen to him. But then there's another mountain that made the difference for all of us. And because of what he did on that mountain, you and I can handle every mountain that he sends our way. You know it. It's Mount Calvary. And on that hill called Calvary, on that mountain, he died for your sins and mine. On that mountain, he loved us enough to stay there so that the payment for sins could be made. On that mountain, he uttered a prayer and said, Father, forgive them, because they ain't got a clue to what they're doing. On that mountain, he could have lashed out, but he took care of his mama. On that mountain, he saved another sinner who was dying in sin. But on that mountain, he looked to God and said, it is finished. Not, I am finished. He said, it is finished. The payment for sin has been made. Deliverance has been provided. All because of what he did on that mountain. And when you put your faith in what Jesus did on that mountain, you can face every mountain that comes your way. a clothes. Kurt Carr is going to help me as I close this. I've got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors. Hey, I've got so much to thank him for. Yes, I do. So for every mountain he's brought me over, for every valley he's seen me through, for every blessing, hallelujah, hallelujah, for this I give him praise. Come on, Junior. For this I give him praise. I thank God for every mountain. I thank God for every valley. I thank God for the storm. He brought me through. And here's my conviction. If I never had a problem, how would I know that God can solve them? How would I know what faith in God can do? So through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I thank God for his word today. And it is our prayer that you've been helped and blessed and encouraged by the word of God. We thank God for his word. We thank God for the man of God who have shared the word of God with us today. And as Pastor was preaching, thought about this song my mama used to sing sometime. Said, serving the Lord will pay off. Oh, yeah, after a while. Oh, yeah. Oh, serving the Lord, it will pay off. Pay off after a while. Oh, oh, you keep on working every day. Whatever is right, God said he would pay. Yeah. Serving the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, it will pay off. After a while. So we want to encourage you, if you're serving him, keep on serving him, because there's a reward in serving him. And we're thankful that God has placed in our midst a man of God who is following God that we can follow. And so we thank God that he's done that for us. We thank God that he's made salvation available for us. And you can get to know him today in a real and a special way. And so we encourage you today to open up your heart. Let Christ come in. Let him be Lord, Savior, ruler, and master of your life. And your life will never be the same as a result of trusting him. And there's some rewards. Some things we're going to get on the other side. But I know there's a witness today. But there's some benefits that we can enjoy on this side today
all as a result of accepting Jesus as Lord of our lives. And so I pray that you will join me in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your word, God. Father, I pray that your word has touched somebody's heart, touched somebody's mind, dear God, and pray that it had caused somebody to say, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? And so, God, we pray that they will respond to the word of God that they've heard, dear God. Father, we pray that you will save somebody even now, God. Even as we pray this prayer, God, we pray that somebody is accepting you. Somebody is responding to the preached word of God. And so, Father, we say thank you. Thank you for the lives that you've touched through the word. Thank you for the minds that have been changed because of the word. Thank you for the hearts that have received your word on today, God. Pray, Father, that you will bless us, that we may be able to help continue to show someone else the way, God. We thank you and we love you. Again, we say thank you for your word on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray with a heart full of thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Hamler. Again, family, again, God bless you. God bless you, each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in, and it has been a joy to serve you. Please know for a fact that I know that being together is what we want to do, but we don't want to do anything unless we can do it safely. Amen. So we are preparing to come back, but we're going to come back strong, and we're going to come back safe. And so we have ordered some equipment and supplies. Some of them have already arrived. Some of them haven't been. But you please know that every day, every week, we are working diligently so that we can come back together. Tentatively, it's going to be a few more weeks. And so I know that there are some other places that are opening. But we want to open safe, and we want to open strong. So thank you for your faithfulness. Do want to ask that you please remember, you can submit your prayer request. We want to know who you are. We want to be connected with you. We have a whole team of individuals calling so that we can stay connected with our family. And so thank you again. You've been faithful through Givelify, PayPal. Matter of fact, there was someone, I don't know who it was, but there was someone that they didn't use the envelope, and it was just a little bit that they pushed through the door. It landed on the floor. But even that, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your desire to continue to support ministry and to give to your church. Thank you. We're going to continue to touch lives and bless people. And so we thank you for all these things. Now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. My prayer is that you will follow the man of God who follows the word. The word of God. If your name never gets called, if you've got to go a few years, you never get recognized, continue to follow. God will give you some experiences. And then when he does call you into service, serve him wholeheartedly. Hey, JT, I thought about you when I read that text, because what it says is God will make an exception for you when you do exceptional things in exercising faith in him. God will let you go some places other folk don't get to go, have some stuff that other folk can't have. And so may the Lord bless you as you walk with him, as you work for him. And may God give you the faith and the determination that if your wages is a promise that has delayed compensation, that you'll remain faithful. Caleb worked and served for 45 more years. And at 85, God gave him just what he promised. The good God we serve, he will not forget his promise. His promises to you. He is faithful. He is true. And may the Lord bless and keep you till we come together again. God bless you. Much love. God bless.